Good morning, everyone.
Good evening, everyone. That's another thing I'm going to be told off about. So you're very welcome this evening at this, the second of our Lord's Day services. And again, we're looking forward to our brother Nigel bringing the Word of God. We were all challenged this morning, and we're looking forward to what message and what the Lord will say to us through our brother Nigel this evening. Tuesday evening at 7:30, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting. Again, our brother Roy Stevenson will continue his series through Titus. Thursday evening at 7:30, Connect is on, and we have a theme of thankfulness and prayer with our brother Jim Cameron giving his testimony. Friday evening, with this being the last Friday of the month, we have the prayer meeting on, just in the prayer room there, with the specific topic of the vacancy. Next Sunday at 11 a.m., we have Andy Williamson speaking. And at 6 p.m., God willing, we have the Reverend Norman Fox. Some additional announcements. Today, the prayer calendar, as I mentioned this morning, is Stepping Stones. So please remember that valuable little ministry at this time, and in particular today. I did embarrass them this morning, but as we're reminded in Hebrews chapter 13, marriage is honourable, and it's to be celebrated. So we extend our congratulations again to Drew and Sharon on their wedding anniversary, which is being celebrated this weekend. Well done, guys. We are remembering our brother Tommy Stewart, who has been taken into hospital recently with heart issues. So please do remember Tommy at this time. Now, Karen got a hold of me this morning and pointed out that I had missed a very important detail next week. And I'm just going to remind you about it. The clocks go back. So you have been warned, set your calendar, well, Karen obviously wasn't the only one that remembered that, but I forgot to, so please bear that in mind next Saturday. I'm also just going to read out a short letter from our sister Michelle. I read it out this morning. Dear friends, my mum has had her surgery done. Mum wants to thank people for their prayers. Mum is okay, very tired and sore. Mum will be back soon when better. God bless Michelle. And this Saturday, so we have quite a packed calendar this week. If you can get to all of those other meetings, you'll be doing well. And on Saturday, we've got one more for you just to be mindful of. With this being the last Saturday of the month, we have the ACRI International Prayer Meeting. And that's held down in Northlands Court at 7 p.m. And the speaker will be Keith Lindsay. One quite important announcement, they're all important. One I just want to draw your attention to is an upcoming special church business meeting. And that's for members on Thursday the 9th of November at 7:30 p.m. Please note the date has changed to avoid the holiday period. And at this meeting, the deacons will bring the name of the person they're recommending as our new minister, and members will vote on that recommendation. We need a minimum of attendance, otherwise the meeting cannot go ahead, so please make an effort to attend. Please also be aware that the meeting is for church members only. And for clarification, a full church member is someone who has made a formal application to join the church, has been interviewed by the deacons, has had their membership accepted as a church at a church members' meeting, and has been welcomed into the fellowship at a communion. So these are the announcements. They're made, Lord willing, and I'm going to hand over to our brother Jeff now to open in prayer.
Let's all pray. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Father God, we praise and thank you that many of many of us here tonight, that is our testimony, that we have been washed in that precious blood. And our prayer would be that if someone is in tonight and as yet have not accepted you as their own and personal Saviour, that tonight would be the night that they would come to know you as their own and personal Saviour. And Father God, again, we thank you for having brought us back into our evening gospel service. Father God, we thank you for our service this morning. We thank you for the message that our brother Nigel brought. And Father God, we look forward to hearing what the Lord has laid upon his heart for this evening's message. And Father God, we just again bring the work and the witness of the church before you. Father God, we thank you for what you're doing at this present time. Father, we thank you that the blessings that we have received from the visiting speakers. And Father, we just praise and thank you for this. And again, Father God, we wouldn't be unmindful of the sick of the fellowship. Father, there are many who need a touch from yourself, Father. We know that they're all known to you by name, and we would lift them up collectively before you now. Just thinking of our brother Tommy Stewart once again, that you would undertake for him in that hospital ward. Be with him and the family circle. And Father, for Clifford and Maisie Johnson, Maisie's still in the hospital, and for Audrey Neal, both of them still in the hospital, we would just pray that you would just undertake for them. And Father God, we think of the different meetings and activities of the church throughout the week. Father, we pray that you would use these to win souls for the kingdom, Father. We pray for the GB, for the Bible study and prayer meeting, for the little lambs, for the ladies' fellowship, for the door-to-door outreach, for the English classes for the on a Thursday, for the boys' club, for the youth fellowship and for the youth club, Father. We would pray that through these meetings and activities that your word would go forth. Now we would just pray, Father, that you would bless Philip and Daphne as they come to lead the worship and for the praise band. And also we don't forget the AV team for the work that they're doing in the background. Father, we would just pray that you would continue to be with us throughout the rest of this service. For it's in your name and for your mercy's sake we would ask these things. Amen.
It is good to see you all. You're very welcome to the evening service. It is the evening service, isn't it? Yes, it is the evening service. So it's good to see you. Hope you're in good singing voice. And I do want to include those who are looking in online. As you hear the songs that we sing, I hope that you'll feel free to join in. And if you miss a note or you sing a wrong word, it doesn't matter because nobody here knows. But you can sing right there at home and join us in worship. I hope that folks will remember this song from some time ago. It seems to me to join together two passages of Scripture. The Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then later on, there's a verse that says, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. If you think about the beginning of a lot of our cities, they began beside a river, like the Laggan or the Foyle. Or the Liffey. Water is so very important. And then, of course, in John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus wanted to introduce a woman to the refreshing water of life that he offered. So we're going to sing this one together. After the introduction, we'll stand together. There is a cleansing fountain. It's 3-2-1 in the book. And I want you to notice that it does have a different chorus than the one that's in the book. It's the chorus, there is a river that flows from deep within. You'll get onto it, I'm sure, as we sing it.
Is a cleansing fountain flows from my being, I'm
song we're going to sing is Have You Any Room for Jesus? And as Nigel was speaking about this morning, have you any time for Jesus? Do we need to prioritise our time? And if we don't, we do so at our peril. So let's sing this. Have You Any Room for Jesus?
Keep our seats. The words have come up on the screen. Can I ask you, will you raise your hand if you know this song? From the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun, I will stand on every promise of your word. Miss your hands? Three of you. I think more of you might know it than that, but it has been suggested that we sing through a verse first before we begin proper, all right? From the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun, I will stand on every promise of your word. Just before we sing it, Nigel was reminding us this morning about the importance of God's word. And I hope you, if you were the one who'd lost your Bible and hadn't seen it since the week before, hope you've got it with you this evening. One of the things that I wrote down, Nigel, from John chapter 10, verse 27, God has caller ID. Do you remember that from this morning at all? What kind of memories have you got? And you know something? I was thinking about that, and you know, whenever we pray, we know that God knows exactly who we are, even though sometimes you would get a call and it says number withheld. You know, for God that doesn't matter. He knows who you are anyway, whether you try and hide it from him. But the Word of God is so important to us. It really, really is. And we're sad about what's going on in Israel and Gaza at the moment. But of course, we remember that the Jews are in Israel as a result of God's promise to them. God does what he says in his word. And this song that we're going to sing together, it tells us that whatever our situation, whether we're facing a bad decision, difficult problems, whether we're in despair, whether we are guilty of sin, there's a word from the Lord for you and me, from the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun. So let's keep our seats. We'll sing a verse through before we begin the hymn proper. Looks like this.
From the breaking of the dawn till the setting of the sun, I will stand on every promise of your word. Words of power strong to save that will never pass away. I will stand of your word. For your covenant is sure, and on this I am secure. I can stand on every promise of your word.
Got the idea? Wunderbar. Okay, some of it, maybe a few smiles of recognition as you listen to it. Okay, we'll still keep our seats as we sing this one together, but please sing your best and please remember what you're singing. Okay, from the breaking of the dawn. Here we go.
Promise of your word.
should know it now. This next one you do know. It's Speak, O Lord, as we come to you. And we just want to clear our minds of all distractions and just concentrate and on what God is going to say to us before Nigel comes. We'll just stand and sing this one.
Please stand as we sing together.
Well, folks, good evening to you all. Now we'll try again. Good evening to you all. That's good. It's lovely to be back with you here in Abbots. And again, thank you very much for the very kind words of welcome. And again, like this morning and this evening, for those who led us in worship, we appreciate their contribution indeed. And we want to say thank you. Maybe what I should have said this morning was, before I shared a wee bit about our work or report a wee bit about what we're doing these past couple of weeks, I really should have said a big thank you to you as a church here at Abbots. I know there was one of your 10 Sundays, I think it is, that a gift was given toward the work of GMSA. And we want to assure you that that does not go unseen or is not just taken for granted. But we are, as a mission, we are very thankful for folks like yourselves who have stood with us as a mission. And part of our UK council, of which Daphne is part of, and we are grateful for those who join us in that council, but we as a council are grateful for congregations and fellowships like yourselves who very generously give toward our work, and not just toward our work, but dare I say, for your own missionaries. I have no doubt that they're grateful as well for your practical support and help to them, and I would encourage you to be as generous as you can to them, and I trust that the Lord will bless you as you do support them. But we're greeting tonight. I'm not going to say much. I kept you too long this morning, So I'm not going to keep you as long tonight, so I'm going to assure you of that. And I'm going to make you a promise. You're going to be out before 7 o'clock, and that is a miracle, isn't it? But I'm going to stick my word now. I told you you wouldn't be out before 12, but I'm going to tell you you're going to be out before 7. So let's see how we get on. John chapter 5, and if you, or sorry, 1 John 5, if you don't mind. 1 John 5, I'm going to read together a few verses from 1 John 5. And dare I say, our little theme for tonight is, we can know. And that's the best way I can put it, is that we can know. And we live in a world of so much uncertainty. We live in a world whereby we turn on the news just the other weekend, although we were out of the country. But when it came to the news came online of the terrible atrocity that happened in Israel, and we wondered ourselves, what is going on? And we wonder, what is happening? We see ultimately God is fulfilling his purposes, and God is undoubtedly, it said it took Israel by surprise. Well, it may have taken the nation by surprise what happened, but it definitely did not take God by surprise. And things that happen in our lives, we might be surprised by what happens in our lives. In fact, sometimes it may take us a long time to come to terms what happens in our lives. Sometimes things that we have to accept, maybe dare I say, bitter pills that are very hard to swallow at times in our lives, but yet ultimately God knows and God is in control, and our lives are in his hands, and we simply commit ourselves to him and trusting that he will work out his purposes for his glory and for our own good. But 1 John chapter 5, we're going to break in at verse 7. It says these words, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Very simply speaking of the Trinity. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And we're going to end our reading there at verse 15. We know this is God's word, and we know he has promised to bless his word to our hearts. Let's just still our hearts for a short word of prayer, as we just would simply commit ourselves to God's hands tonight. Father, we pray you would help us tonight as we still our hearts before thee. We thank thee for the word of God. We rejoice, Lord, again and again that it shall abide forever. It cannot and will not be destroyed. And no matter what men may try to do, and no matter even what the enemy of the souls of men may try to do, the enemy of God may try to do, we thank that your word will be fulfilled. Indeed, the last jot and tittle shall be complete, and every promise in your word shall be fulfilled for your glory. Now, as we come to you this evening, we ask ourselves tonight that you would draw near to us. We ask that, Lord, that we might know the help of God, not only in the preaching and the proclamation of the word, but we ask, Lord, even tonight that this word might be a word for some soul to help them along the journey. We pray most of all, Lord, that this tonight might even be a stepping stone for some soul for the very first time of finding their way to the cross and accepting Christ as their own and personal Savior. We look to you, Lord, because at the end of the day, Lord, salvation, the scripture tells us, is of you. And we ask you, dear God, our Heavenly Father, to just graciously draw near and to answer prayer for your name's sake. We look to you in faith in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you want to, as we already intimated, if you want a little theme for this evening's message, it's very simply this: can you know? Well, in a word, as we have intimated earlier, in a world of uncertainties and a world of questioning anything or things that happen in our lives or things that happen in society, I want to say to you that despite all these things that happen to us in life and without the world, for the child of God, we can know that come what may, all is well with our souls. And all is right for God, all is right for heaven, and we are right to meet God in our heart of hearts. And you say, well, we live in a world where people, you really cannot be that confident, you can't really be that, some might even use the word arrogant. This is not about arrogance, or this is neither is about self-confidence either. When we live in a world whereby self-promotion is very much important, whereby you put yourself forward and you present yourself in such a light that you look good. This is not about self-promotion, nor neither is about self-confidence. This is about a confidence in what the Word of God says, and a resting in what the promises of God very clearly states and proclaims that you and I can very definitely stand upon. And if you sit in our meeting this evening, or dare I say, tune in online to watch, to already that Philip has inclined to you to join in the service, I'm going to say to you tonight that you can know in your heart of hearts that come what may, that all is well with your soul. And that is the wonderful truth of the assurance of salvation that the Word of God brings to the life of individuals, that you can have assurance in your life without a doubt. John writes here in verse 13, he says, "These things have written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God." We are going to just simply split this wee text into three parts, and just simply a number of the parts simply speak about salvation, or dare I say the first couple of parts speak about salvation, and the last speaks about the fruit of that salvation in our lives. I'm going to say to you, first of all, notice the persons to be assured, because it's speaking about a specific type of people here, a specific individual. And it simply says these words, that they that believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, or believe on the name of the Son of God. And so those who can experience this assurance of salvation, this sense of certainty, of knowing, just as you're born into a physical family whereby you have physical parents, and you might be blessed with siblings, brothers or sisters, you might have an assurance to know what family you're connected with on an earthly basis. Thank God tonight that we, as we are born into a spiritual family, we can know who our Heavenly Father is. We can have a certainty in our heart of hearts that come what way, we know exactly what family that we belong to, and not only what family we belong to, but where our home is when we leave this world. And so whenever I say that you can know, there are people say you cannot know. The reality is, folks, there are people out, many in the world today have not any idea what this assurance of salvation is about. But I'm going to say to you today with absolute confidence and assurance in God that as much as I know that I am on my way to heaven, if you're in our service this evening or tuned in online, if you have not trusted in Christ, you are as certain and you are sure that you're presently on your way to a place called hell. Now, that's not about being cocky or arrogant or boastful. As confident as the children of God have that we know that come, if I was to die this very moment where I stand, and just like what happened where Ananias and Sapphira, where Ananias lied under the Holy Ghost and Sapphira come and told the same lies, and while he was in the ground buried, his wife knew nothing about it now. She didn't even know he was buried. Didn't even know he was dead. But she came and told the same story. The reality is, folks, if I were to die in this very spot, I know for a fact that my eternal destiny is heaven. And it's not because I grew up in a congregational church. It's not because present I go to a Baptist church. It's not because that I work for a mission organization or at one time served for a short period as a congregational minister. It's not about any of those things at all. It's about a simple fact that one day in my life that I sought Christ as my Savior. I called upon him, I believed in him, and because of that, the witness of God's Spirit bore witness with my spirit that I was a child of God, and I had this certainty, come what may, I know where I'm going. Now I want to ask you tonight, as you sit on Abbott's Cross or tune in online, where are you going? Where are you going? It's not about church attendance, which is important if you come. I think it's vitally important, because why do you come and listen, sit under the Word of God? I'll tell you why. Because the Scripture tells that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why we believe in the preaching of God's Word. That's why we believe it's central, and it's far more important than even our prayers. The preaching is far more important than even the prayers that we offer, although the Bible says that God, that whosoever offereth praise glorifieth God. We know that, but we also believe ultimately that it's, the Scripture says, faith doesn't come through prayers. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we believe that the Word of God ought to be central in our lives. That's why this morning, as we shared about this simple fact, truth, that how that the Word is crucial for our lives, because it strengthens our faith, it sustains us throughout life and all the rest. Tell me tonight, where are you going? Where are you going? I'm not talking about where you're going from here as we leave church. I'm not talking about where you're going to go through this week, or where you're going on your holidays. I'm not interested in those things at all. But I'm asking you, where are you going when you leave this world? You say, but nobody can know. I'm saying you can know tonight. And if you're not saved this evening, the Bible states where you're going. And it's not heaven. But it can be heaven tonight. Thank God it can be. If by faith you come to the cross and call upon the Savior for salvation. These persons, to be assured, number one, he says, twice he writes in verse 13, he says that those that who believe on his name. But the question is, what does it really mean to truly believe? Because I read in the book of James, James says that thou doest well to believe. The devil also believes and he trembles. So we have here this question whereby, is it merely just a head knowledge? Is it merely just a sense whereby, well, I believe in God? Because we meet people along the journey and say, well, I do believe in God. I believe in God. Well, does that mean that everybody who believes in God is a child of God? Not at all. Not at all. Scripture is clear that the enemy of our souls, the devil, the one whom the Bible says is the father of lies, John 8:44, very simply, it tells us that he himself believes in God. He believes in the triune God. He believes in the power of God. He knows what the power of God is like, because he himself was once in the presence of God. He once dwelt in heaven before his heart filled with pride, and then was cast from heaven, and then took a third of the angels with him. He knows what that's like, but yet he has no assurance of salvation. What is it to really believe? I'm going to say this: to truly believe on the Son of God and to believe in his name is to trust in Christ with your heart. When an individual trusts in Christ with all their heart, it simply means, number one, they realize, first of all, their condition and their position before God. So what is man's condition? What is man's position before God? And irrelevant to me, your theological stance on whether it be end times or other matters that we might differ from, will that be in other matters concerning theology, I'm going to say to you, there's one thing, many things that are central, or many things, dare I say, that we all commonly agree with. Every man before God is a sinner. Every man is lost. Every man needs salvation. And man can only find salvation in one place. Scripture says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is not in a denomination. Salvation is in a person. Salvation is in that person called Christ Jesus. I grew up in Money Moor, going to the little Good News Club, going to Sunday school, learned many great, lovely, or wee choruses for children, and many of them I'm grateful for, because they were, dare I use the word, they were sound, theological sound, and they taught us simple but biblical truths. And that's why I, to this day, I'm not a big fan of Who's the King of the Jungle. I don't know if you know that song or not, but I'm not a really big fan about Who's the King of the Jungle. I couldn't care who the King of the Jungle is. What I'm a fan of that one is that lovely chorus, One Way God Said to Get to Heaven, and Jesus is the Only Way. I'm a fan of, no, you can't get to heaven without salvation. No, you can't get to heaven without salvation. I'm a fan, dare I say, of these wee choruses that I learned as a childhood, whereby one door, only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, but on which side are you? And it taught us the vital, vital importance that in life you can't be in the world and in Christ. It taught us that you can't be in Christ and out of Christ. You're either in him or you're out of him. As I said in Scotland, you're either head or you're henny. That's the reality. It's not one of two worlds. And so for someone tonight to be truly believing in Christ, number one, they realize their condition and their position before God. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. I'm going to say to you, secondly, they're willing to repent of their sinful condition. Because that is a reality. Because you know, I realize that I'm lost. But then I realize that I have sinned. Who have I sinned against? Well, yes, I have sinned against my fellow man, but primarily I have sinned against God. I've broken his law. I've broken his commandments. I have defiled the law of God, and so I come and I repent of my sin, and I'm asking him through Christ Jesus to forgive me for my sin. There's a repentance. There's a turning away from my sin. It's not a matter of me being able to say, well, look, Lord, I want to become a Christian, but still I want to keep some of my sins. That's not the way it works. It's a matter of repenting of all my sin. I want to say to you, thirdly, those that truly believe, they believe that not only did Christ die on the cross, but he died there taking their sin upon his own body on the tree. Because that's where we see the great subject of substitution, whereby he is coming and he is standing in my place. He is condemned for me. He has been made unrighteous. This righteous one was made unrighteous for me because he took upon himself my sinfulness, my wickedness, my deceitfulness. And he bore my sin. The Bible says, him who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made in the righteousness of God. So there's a reason why he has come to die on the cross, that he might change us, that he might cause us to become a people who are a holy people, a righteous people, a people who are, dare I say it, are not by any means filled with self, but filled with the Savior. I want to say also, very simply, those who believe in his name are those who have realized that he himself, by his Spirit, knocks at our heart's door, seeking permission, as we read about in Revelation 3 and 20, and whereby he awaits our invitation to enter in. Why? Because he is the perfect gentleman. I do a little bit of visiting around Ballymena for a church, and I'm very privileged to do a couple of days a week for them. And as over the time, as some of them, I when they got a new pastor, he would have come out with me, the new pastor there, David Anderson, he would have started coming out with me, and there were certain homes that I knew the people well, so I didn't even lock the door, I just opened the door and walked on in, and he was sort of aghast that I would just walk on into somebody's house. He says, what are you doing? I says, I'm going to see this man. You don't need to wait till they come to you. No, I don't need to wait. Don't wait, just walk on in. What are they going to say? Don't worry what they say, they'll be fine, they'll be grand, come on ahead. He wouldn't actually come in, he waited at the door. And then the man of the house, he goes, what are you standing out there for? He says, come on in, you're not coming in. He says, I'm not. He says, he just walks on in. He doesn't ask. Now, I don't do that with everybody. Let me assure you, I do not just walk into everybody's house. I don't do that. But if I know the people well enough, I don't even knock, I just walk on in because I know I can do it. But he will not, my dear friend, the Savior will just simply not walk into your life. He'll only come where he's invited. He'll only come where he's asked. And if you don't invite him and you don't ask him, then he stands outside your heart's door. It's not to say he will always stand. It's not to say he will always knock. But if the Spirit of God is striving with your heart and he is knocking, then it's for time for you to open your heart's door and say, Lord Jesus, today I ask you to be my Savior and to come and live in my life. Tell me tonight, where are you going? Let me ask you a second wee question. What have you done with Christ? Now do I see very simply, folks, the persons to be assured. So there are those, here we see very simply those who have asked Christ. Let me say secondly, there's the privilege of being assured, because this privilege that God grants to those who call upon the name of Christ, is indeed a privilege. In fact, I'm going to say it is an exclusive privilege. So in a certain denomination in our province, they are what's called a certain exclusive group of people. And they very much keep themselves to themselves. Well, what we have here is extremely exclusive. Because God doesn't give it to the Mormons or to the Muslims or to the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Seventh-day Adventists or the Cuneites or anybody else. He only gives this assurance to the people of God. And when I say the people of God, I'm not talking here in a broad sense. I'm talking about those specifically who have called upon the name of the Lord for salvation. So if you have done that, thank God this privilege can be your privilege. You say to me very simply, what are the bases or how can I know in my heart? Well, I'm going to say the assurance of salvation really comes and can come in many different ways. But I'm going to say to you, number one, it is not based upon how I feel. So I today might feel very happy and joyful and glad because I am in the company of God's people. Then Monday morning I might waken up and I might not be in the best of form, and dare I say I might be overwhelmed with waves of sadness or waves of darkness, wherever that might be. Does that mean that tomorrow I'm not saved? Does that mean that tomorrow I'm not ready for heaven? Not at all, because my salvation is not based upon how I feel. It is based solely and completely by faith upon what God's word says. I lived in Plymouth for a while, and Karis and I had the privilege of this lovely couple lent us their home whenever we were there. And Dorothy was actually, it was actually a little church that they went to, was a little congregational church outside Plymouth, a wee place called Lee Mill. And her husband was not a Christian, but I had the privilege of sitting beside him and leading him to the Lord. And one night, as we sat around his kitchen table, he said, "Nigel, but I have asked the Lord many times into my life, but I don't seem to be able to know for certain that I am saved. And I don't seem to be 100% sure that I'm ready for heaven." I said, "Philip, whenever you accept Christ to be your Savior, it is never upon how you feel. It is about what the Word of God clearly teaches." And God's word tells me this without any doubt. And my dear friend, you take this home and you mull much upon it, because the scripture says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So there's this sense of confidence in what the word of God tells me. And that's why, dear friends, we point you to the word of God, because our confidence is not in ourselves, but our confidence is in scripture. And my dear friend, how on earth can we be strong in the scriptures if we don't study the scriptures and learn the scriptures for ourselves and for our own lives? This is a great truth here. I'm going to say to you, not only salvation is not based upon how I feel, but it's based upon his word. That why take God his word? Because very simply, dear people, his word is truth. Psalmist says in Psalm 119, "Thy law," or "thy word is truth." Hebrews 6 tells us that it's impossible for God to lie. So when God's word concerning salvation and the assurance of it is very simple, this, when he says in John 6:37, he says, "All the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He says, "If you come," he says, "I'll not cast you away, but I'll take you in." And so tonight, as you sit in our service or maybe in your own home and you have not yet come or not yet called, thank God tonight, if you simply by faith realize that you're lost and you call upon the name of the Lord, thank God the scripture says the Savior will take you in. Assurance of salvation for some comes through confession of Christ. Thank God it's based solely upon the word of God, but others, there's the witness of God's spirit can bear witness with our spirit. Romans tells us in Romans 10 that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that thou shalt be saved, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the word of God exhorts us to confess Christ when we have sought him. And thank God when we do confess him, we rejoice in this wonderful truth also, that the Lord himself has promised us that he can give us that witness, that assurance in our hearts that we belong to him. I'm going to say to you thirdly and very simply this evening, not just do I see the persons to be assured, those that call upon Christ, the privilege of being assured, and that privilege is this fact that he gives exclusively to his children. And tonight, if you're not a child, I'm going to say you might have happy feelings, you might have peaceful feelings, but I'm going to tell you it's not a true peace from God, because true peace only comes from him who is the Prince of Peace. And that's not my words, that's what the Word of God tells us. Because peace can only be found in the greatest peacemaker ever, and that was Christ Jesus our Savior, who said, "I have come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly." But he said in John 14, he says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." So he says that the world can give a sense of peace, but it's not this perfect peace. But he says, "My peace I leave unto you." I want to say to you thirdly, just as we bring our service to a close this evening, there's the produce of salvation. Produce. I plant. Last year, my wife, well, in fact, not summer past, but the summer before, my wife took this notion in her head that we'd have this vegetable plot. I says, "No bother, darling. What are you going to plant?" "Going to plant celery." Well, would I tell you? I believe that celery was a product of the fall. I do not know what the point is of celery one, but in my, I have no notion what anybody would want to eat celery for, and yet she thinks it's great. She thinks this is great. Well, I see you plant as much as you want. Well, she planted this, but it took up half the vegetable blade and up through half it out. I says, "Carrots, waste of space. So she planted this year a lot of carrots and beetroot and a few other things. And you know what was lovely? When we planted the carrot seed, we got carrots. We planted beetroot, we got beetroot. Right? You get what you plant. And my dear friend, if the Spirit of God has come to dwell in your heart, He'll produce a fruit of righteousness in your life. It'll not be unrighteousness, but it'll be righteousness. You see, folks, when Jesus said these words in John and Matthew chapter 7, He said these words, "Not by their words ye shall know them, but by their fruits ye shall know them." I get that now. And so, although primarily the early part of our message very much focuses on and very clearly upon the fact that we, for those who are not saved, need to be saved, but I'm going to say to you, folks, the standard of salvation, this is not congregational standard, it's not even Baptist standard, or this is biblical standard, and this challenges all of us in the house of God that by our lives, what kind of, what fruit has been produced from our lives. There was an old man called W. Herschel Ford. I have a few of his wee books in my office. And he says this: "How can you know whether or not a man belongs to God?" That's the question he asked. How can you know whether a man belongs to God? He says, "Not by the way he looks, nor by the way he speaks, but by the way he behaves." He says, "By the fruit that comes from his life." And that's, without a doubt, very biblical. At the end of the day, folks, if there's righteousness within, there will be righteousness without. If there's impurity within, then impurity will come from without. Because what's inside will come out in your attitudes and in your actions. That's what will happen in all of our lives. We may try and cover it up, but ultimately it will be evident. But if we are the children of God, our lives should produce that which Paul speaks about in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such, he says, there is no law. Four little thoughts, and I promise you that the singers will be up before 7 o'clock. Very simply. Number one, I'm going to say to you, what the Spirit of God produces in our lives, first of all, is a hunger for the Word of God. And it's not that I'm trying to re-echo what I said this morning, but if you or I, folks, are getting through a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, without spending time in God's Word, we need to start asking ourselves some very serious questions. Where is our priorities? Peter says in 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word." For what reason? That ye may grow thereby. So the Word is given to us for a purpose, that we would grow. If you've stopped growing spiritually, is it because simply that you have been starving your soul of spiritual food, that being the Word of God? I'm going to say to you, secondly, not just does the Spirit of God create a hunger in our hearts for the Word of God, but the Spirit of God gives us a desire, a yearning to seek God. So it's whereby that we may take time to seek the face of God in prayer. Not that we might fulfill our secret ambitions or plans, but that we might seek the will of God and might seek the ways of God for our lives, that we might seek Him in prayer. It says in Acts chapter 9, "And the Lord said unto Ananias, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Behold what? He prayeth." So in his very early stages of this man's conversion, he wasn't in theological seminary. He hadn't gone to some Bible college, but simply he had met with Christ on the road to Damascus. And one of the first things you find him doing, what was the Spirit of God produced in his life? A desire to seek God in prayer. Folks, I don't need to tell you that one of our, I haven't been at your midweek or your prayer meeting for I don't know how long, and that's not by any means I'm trying to give anybody a touch why I'm not there. That's not why I'm saying that to you. But what I am saying to you is that any prayer meeting that I go to now, whether it be in our own home church or in other church meetings, I sat with a pastor recently and he said that some of the people were wanting to have 1,000 or 2,000 likes on Facebook. And one of the elders of the church said, I would love it if we had 150 people at our prayer meeting, half of our congregation. Where is our priorities, folks? Don't think, and don't take me wrong when I say this, and please, you can tell me off afterwards. I'll give you if you want to tell me off on this matter afterwards, that's fine. Bringing a new man to the pulpit will not change our attitudes. But seeking God in prayer and seeking God's word for our lives will. And that's what we desperately need, people. And if we're not willing to change, there won't be any change. I don't care if you bring the finest preacher of America, and I'm not by any means trying to promote anyone or put anybody down. I'm not saying that at all. I tell you, the Spirit of God, not just to present, give us a hunger for the word, produce a desire to seek him in prayer, but the Spirit of God gives us a longing to do the service of God, to be able to put our hands to the plow and say, look, Lord, here, what do you want me to do? How can I serve you in this place? What can I do to do your will here? Because what does the scripture say? That he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want to say to you, fourthly, as I finish tonight, the Spirit of God brings a burden to see men saved by the grace of God. Mrs. Miller, with this story I finish, Mrs. Miller was one of the finest little ladies that went to the Donaghy Congregational Church. She came just across the fields from where my dad was reared. And whenever I went to her house, she always used to reminisce about the Kissicks and about all the things that they used to do, and they're adventurous and all these things. I don't want you to give you the impression that us Kissicks were some sort of an intelligent people. Some of them are, but they're on the other side of the family. That's the best way of putting it. I used to love her. But the one thing I loved at Mrs. Miller whenever we went to the prayer meeting, and I can still hear to this day when she'd pray and say, Lord, with all the sincerity of her heart, she'd say, Lord, we have unsaved people in church on Sunday morning, and she says they're standing on the very trap door of hell, and it could open at any moment. Lord, will you save them before it's too late? People with a burden for souls. May I ask you, and I ask your forgiveness, I've gone over my time, but I want to ask you very simply, when was the last time you wept for your family? When was the last time you wept for... Some of you are blessed with children. Some of us are not. When was the last time we wept for our nephews and nieces? A new generation growing up in a world that things today that are seen acceptable is far from biblically acceptable. When was the last time we wept for those who sit in these pews on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, for their souls and for their salvation? And when I mean weeping, I'm not talking artificial tears when people are watching or people are listening, but just whenever you're alone with God and you're before him in prayer. When was the last time your heart was so overwhelmed with such an immense burden for the salvation of your loved ones that just words, it wasn't even about words. It was just about the tears that flowed from your eyes. Folks, these are just some of the little, what I'm going to call some of the produce that the Spirit produces in the life of his children and the children of God. Are you his child tonight? Because you can be. And maybe you're his child, but maybe there's this lack in your life concerning the assurance of salvation. Thank God you can simply come before him and take him at his word. My wife, who was then my girlfriend before we were married, we sat in the Lodge Hotel and I proposed to her. And by what I told her that day on the 28th of December 1996, she began making plans. And those plans were toward the 18th of April of 1998, when we would stand in Cutside Gospel Hall Church over in Yorkshire, and we would make our vows before those who would be in the church, but most of all before God. But she made plans all upon what? Upon what I told her in the Lodge Hotel in December 1996. What I tell her, I says, "Carlos, I want you to be my wife." And all she had was my word. She didn't have a paper signed. She said, "My word." And she went away and began getting wedding dress sorted, wedding cake sorted, all them things that had to be done for weddings, all upon my word. My word. Folks, you can bank your life on this book, because this book is God's word. And what he promises, he will do. Let's pray. Father, we ask you tonight that as we would just bring our service to conclusion, that you will draw graciously near to us. And Father, that Lord, even your word would help us to see the need in our lives where we fall far short, even as your people, that we tonight in the stillness and quietness of our own hearts, or dare I say even when we go back home, that we might begin to make changes in our lives for the glory and for the honor of your name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The hymn writer says, "Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain." Let's stand together as we sing, please. Our Father, we pray you'll take us to our homes in safety this evening, but we ask that most of all, dear God, that you would be pleased to print your word deep into the hearts of those who are not saved, and for those of you who are today, Lord, that your word would become something that is extremely precious to us, more precious than anything we possess our own, even our closest kith and kin, Lord, that your word will be even more precious to us. And Lord, as we just simply would take time in it, that we may grow thereby and become more and more like Jesus. Take us to our homes in safety in your name. Amen. Thank you, Philip. Thank you, Daphne. Thank you, man.